You are listening to Setting History Straight with Linda Watson.
And welcome to our show. And we're going to have Dan Ray on with us. Dan has been on many times before, but he hasn't been on in a while. So, Dan, so happy to have you back. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Linda. Thank you very much for having me again. It's always been a pleasure to come on this show. I always look forward to either being on or listening to your guests that you have. It's so informing, and it's just such, it lifts you up quite well, these shows that you have, and showing the Father is in control of everything. He has his plan that's coming together.
Yes, he certainly does. So, Dan, what are you going to share with us today?
Well, today I'd like to talk about the United Nations and a couple of things that should be brought aware to your listeners that's going on that they may not be aware of. So I'd like to share some of these things. You're feeling the effects of it big time, and you may not realize where it all was planned long time ago, right? So, and one of the major ones right now that you're having is Agenda 21. And I don't know if your readers or listeners are aware of that. It was a Rio de Janeiro United Nations-sponsored event in 1992. And they decided, and this is where all this climate change and global warming all basically started.
Oh, wow. And, I didn't know this.
Oh, it is very good. As a matter of fact, I've got a thing that I'm going to be reading from. It's called Agenda 21 in One Easy Lesson. It just summarizes what happened at this 1992 Agenda 21 meeting that they had from world leaders. Moved on. Now they got they went from Agenda 21 to Agenda 2030. So they've already got Agenda 21 basically in place, and people don't even realize that. And I know in California, there's a lot of groups there that are fighting Agenda 21, because what it is world governance, and it's at the local level, though. This is what it's all about. And I know in Canada here, in Vancouver in particular, even my own city, which is only 135,000 people, they're really making everything green, and that's all part of this Agenda 21. And the United Nations gives cities funding for this to achieve their goals. And in Bluffs, it's, of course, put stack and pack. What they want to do is take away your houses and put you in an apartment building. Take away your cars, which we hear about. Some people have been talking about that in the last week or two in the United States. And put you on a bike. And centralize your living in one area and have mass transportation moving you about. It's about people control. Now, I don't know if your people or the people and listeners are aware that in China, they built all these ghost cities. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Okay, so what it was about, because I saw it and think, oh, this, what is this? What are they building cities with nobody living in them? And what it was part of the plan is, of course, we know there's 1.4 billion residents of China. And what they did is they moved 250 million people off their farms into these cities. Moved them from these, you know, their plots of land for the small farmers and moved them and put them into a 60 or 70 story building. And you never hardly heard anything about it.
No.
No, that's right. They were forced off the land to live in these cities. And you heard very little about this. And that's what those ghost cities were built for. I mean, so that's almost, I was going to say almost the population of the United States, but that's, I think the United States is about 350 million now.
Yes.
So just over half, say three quarters of your population was moved from the farm, moved into a brand new city that never existed, say, 20 years ago. So this is what they did there. And I think that was a lot to do with Agenda 21, because that's what they want to do here. And I'm just going to read some things here that they talk about, because a lot of them are NGO players in your community. So they're non-government officials that just basically started turning your cities and turning your streets into bike lanes, congesting the traffic so you'll get out of your cars and get on transportation or on your bike and get out of your cars. And we've heard that. Didn't Cory Booker say that a couple of days ago or a week ago about getting people out of their cars? And right. And also he said was about red meat. He said you wanted people to stop eating red meat. Did he not? Do you remember what he said that last week?
Yes, I do remember. And now the interesting piece is that they have this new deal, and part of that is in the process of trying to get rid of petroleum products. And if you get rid of petroleum products, the cars and trucks stop, and so does the trains and so does the planes.
Yeah, new Green Deal. That's Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez
talks about, right?
Right.
She's talking about this new Green Deal, when in fact it's actually not new, it's old. This is Agenda 21 being forced on the American people is what's being done. That's what's going on. The whole Democratic Party is pushing this Agenda 21, which has gone into Agenda 2030. But they're going to implement still, and they're implemented across America. Because that's when you look in the classrooms, they have Global Day and they have Earth Day. And look at all that. That's all from the United Nations, right? And this is all part of this Agenda 21. And if you can read their Agenda 21 online with the United Nations, you just have to look it up. And it's just interesting that the person who headed the Rio de Janeiro meeting in 1992 of this Agenda 21, the name was Maurice Strong.
Yeah.
I don't know if that – is that name familiar to you?
No, not at all.
Okay, so back in the 1980s, Maurice Strong was one of the biggest communists in Canada. So he's out of Winnipeg. He's passed away now. Maurice Strong was born in Winnipeg, and he moved to New York City and married one of the Rockefeller daughters. So Maurice Strong, I think, was pretty big in the Council of Foreign Relations and Club of Rome and Bilderbergers. I think he was very big in that. So he rose really quick. He was a star among them. Then when he started retiring, he opened up trade with Canada and China. Kissinger, who opened it up to China? And then our guy was Maurice Strong. And also it's interesting because Maurice Strong, as you read about him in his later years, I never knew this, but in Colorado, they have this valley where all the New Agers live. These different New Agers all live in this area because it's safe in that area for protection. I guess they're near Denver. Okay, so one of the big things in Agenda 21 is, this is very interesting because your readers will identify with this, social justice.
Yes, they will definitely identify with that.
Okay, so social justice is described as the right and opportunity of all people to benefit equally from the resources afforded to us by society, the environment, redistribution of wealth. Private property is a social injustice. Private property is a social injustice, since not everyone can build wealth from it. National sovereignty is a social justice. Universal health care is social justice. All part of the Agenda 21 policy. So this has been long planned, the social justice has been coming. You know, we only hear about it now in the last few years, but this has been planned out long in advance. Yeah.
See, these things are put in these documents, but they're not talked about.
No, of course not. Nobody even knows about Agenda. Most people I talk to, probably 90% of people, have, maybe even more, don't even know about Agenda 21 at all. And yet they feel the effects. They're all complaining about how the traffic here is getting worse. We're a small town and we're getting squeezed and squeezed. And they're building high rises. There's no new subdivisions. We're building high rises, 30-story, a little town of 135,000. We're building 35-story buildings here now, right? They're building bike trail cars. We got to go one way and go the other. I'll tell you, it gets hot here in the summer. Nobody rides their bike in the summer, even though we're a recreational area. In the wintertime, right now I'm sitting in the middle of a blizzard. Who's riding their bikes, right? But in the meantime, everybody's being jammed on the roads because they're taking them away and more people are condensed into one area.
This is something that's part of the culture of the Chinese and Japanese. And even in Europe, they ride bikes a lot. And so this is part of their culture, but it's not part of the American culture. I remember when the owners of Shell Oil came to visit our refinery in Louisiana, the first thing they did is they pulled in and they saw the parking lots with all the cars. And they said, where did all these cars come from? He said, why don't people here ride bikes? Isn't that interesting that that's the mentality around the world, is that, you know, you don't use cars and trucks as much as you do bikes in a lot of societies and cultures.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. Back in the 1950s, Los Angeles had one of the best transportation systems in the world. They had all those rail cars and like above ground, and they got rid of them all and put everybody in a car. And they did that in Vancouver, BC, the exact same time. They got rid of all the street cars. And they had one of the best systems going in North America. So Los Angeles and Vancouver, they got rid of them to put people into cars, right? So we've got suburban America or Canada we have to drive 20 or 30 miles, 10 miles, 5 miles to work.
Right.
And so it doesn't work for us, but in Europe, and I was there last September, it works fine. You know, I can see there's not, you know, honestly, there wasn't a lot of people riding bikes. There was more cars than anything, right, that I saw. But some cities, there were a lot more, like Munich had a lot of bikes, and, you know, Amsterdam does. And a lot of the cities I went to did not have a lot of bikes going. Even, you know, the condensed cities of Europe, they ride their bikes, but there's still a lot of cars, too.
It's just much more prevalent there than it is here.
That's right. Exactly. So sustainable development policies are smart growth, wetland project. That's wetlands is where they want to take the land back and they want to not allow people out there into the wilderness. This is coming. A resilient cities, STAR, sustainable communities, STAR. That's I'm not sure what STAR is, but sustainable communities, green jobs, green building codes, going green. OK, this is where green came from. Right. When you hear that. Alternative energy, local visioning, facilitators, regional planning, historical development of rights, suitable farming, and it goes on and on. And it's interesting because I know the slogan years ago, a few years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, the new red is green. You know what I mean by that? Red, green, or the new red is green. So all the your liberals and leftists all went from being red, well, they still are, jumping on the green bandwagon. This is way back 27 years ago. This is all being planned for us.
Yes.
Then we have ICLEI, Local Governments for Sustainability. So this is where they start funding, especially U.S. Mayor's Conference. They talk about how they can get funding from the United Nations, push all these green initiatives. So,
right.
Yeah. We have where did it originate? The term sustainable development was first introduced into the world on the pages of a 1987 report called Our Common Future, produced by the United Nations World Commission on Environment and Development. So this is where the green came from. Everything became green. It was 1987 when they started pushing this. It was authored by Gro Harlem Brundtland, Vice President of the World Socialist Party.
Unbelievable. That's who, yes.
There you go. It made an official United Nations policy in 1992 in a document called the United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 21. So it's right in there.
Yeah.
On the Earth Summit. Yeah. What gives Agenda 21 ruling authority? 178 nations adopted. 178, it's almost every nation in the world. I think there's about 214 countries in the world. 178 adopted Agenda 21 as their official policy.
Wow.
Yeah. President George Bush signed it on behalf of America. President Bill Clinton made it part of America's policy. It's Executive Order 12858.
Okay.
So it would harmonize the United States environmental policy with United Nations directives. So, yeah. And here's some revealing quotes from the planners of this. Agenda 21 proposes an array of actions which are intended to be implemented by every person on Earth. It calls for specific changes in the activities of all people in capital letters. Effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all humans, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. Wow. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Re-education, in other words, which is happening. When you think about being in the school system and you look around and that, everybody's being re-educated. Now you got the Democratic Party pushing this Agenda 21 to the max, right? You know, they want to build railway trains across the ocean, get rid of jets, you know, all these things that AOC is pushing, right? And another one, realities of life on our planet dictate the continued economic development as we know it cannot be sustained. Sustainable development, therefore, is a program of action for local and global economic reform. Of course, we look at it, we got redistribution of wealth. Oh, yeah.
What you're saying is very interesting because that's truly the agenda that Barack Obama had when he was in office and he closed down, if you remember, he closed down all the in the Gulf of Mexico. He was trying to push in some of that strategy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So getting back on private land ownership is a quote here. Land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals subject to pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth. Therefore, it contributes to in social justice. So private land use decisions are often driven by strong economic initiatives that result in several ecological and consequences. The key to overcoming this is through policy, public policy. They want to make it public policy that they're going to get rid of the single home, basically. Here, this is interesting. This is by Maurice Strong himself. Current lifestyle and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class involving high meat intake, use of fossil fuels, appliances, home and work air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable.
So they're really going to put you in something like an apartment, take away your home, mm-hmm. and put you in a place where you don't have air conditioning.
It's being phased out is what it's going to be doing, right? And eventually the people in houses will be forced, possibly like China, into a high rise, right? So this is what is happening. In Vancouver, right, they're ripping down all these houses everywhere, and they're putting up nothing but high rises. Even in parking lots of malls, they're putting up high rises. It's just going crazy in Vancouver. But, you know, it's interesting. He says involving high meat intake. And that's what Cory Booker and the Democrats, he talked just last week. And that's what got me thinking about this. He's quit eating red meat. Yeah. Here, this is what they talk about is not sustainable. Ski runs, plowing of soil, building fences, industry, single-family homes, paved and tarred roads. Now, isn't it interesting, paved and tarred roads? Because I've read, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, 8 years ago, where they're starting to rip up the roads in the mid-central United States and going back to gravel roads. I don't know if you ever read that or not.
No, I didn't.
And they want to put them back to gravel roads. Logging activities. Now, here's another one. This is interesting. Dams and reservoirs. Now, I know they're having a big fight in, I think it's southern Oregon. They want to get rid of the dam there. There's a dam they want to get rid of. And all the farmers and ranchers and that in southern Oregon are up in arms about this. They want to get rid of the dam. And it's their
area. This is not something anybody knows.
That's right. But people don't read that. They've never probably heard of Agenda 21. This is controlling your life right now. And people don't even know it.
Right.
Also, they want to get rid of power line construction and economic systems that fail to set proper value on the environment. They can control all that. So, yeah. Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. But we see it happening right in front of our eyes that's the big push.
Yeah, so I was reading an article just the other day about how people are feeling it. They see the immigration, they're seeing their economy, they're seeing everything. And we're not used to this. We're running around in circles, not understanding what's going on. For those who do know understand, you understand what it's all planned long in advance. Everything just doesn't happen because it happens. It's been orchestrated years ago. And now you're feeling the effects 27 years later on this Agenda 21.
Do you know that the reason they're having the riots in France is because they've added a green tax on the people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. The green tax is what you're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and now,
I'm sure they're
interesting.
We talk about the taxes. They're going to implement a world tax or a green tax on top of everybody. So not only do we pay a local tax, state tax or provincial taxes we would pay, and then the national tax, the IRS, now you're going to have a world tax on top of that to help pay for all the green initiatives. And AOC said that they want to rip down all the buildings in America. And did you hear her say that? She wants to rip down everything that's not sustainable and rebuild everything in America to be sustainable and part of this agenda. It's big. It's big.
I got to make a comment here because you've been talking about this green movement. And, you know, when you look at the four horsemen in the book of Revelations, okay, I look at them at a very high level because I look at the first one where it talks about the white horse. I think that has to do with the implementing a set of values that against laws of nature. And so the second one, I think, has to do with socialism and communism. And at the end result of that, there's going to be a huge war to push that in. And that'll be like a one world government, which is socialism. And that's interesting that horse is red. And then you have the last, the third horse, which it has to do with economics. They're going to roll in an economic system that's wireless. Very interesting. And then the fourth horse that you're talking about, do you know that's a mistranslation? That's not a pale horse. It's a green horse.
Mm-hmm. No, didn't know that.
The word is chloros. It means green. Okay. They put pale in there, but it's wrong, translated wrong. It should be translated a green horse. And that is exactly what you're talking about right here. When you stop and think about that, Satan has to control four things. He has to control your religion. He has to control the government. He has to control the economics, which is the money, and he has to control the environment. So those are the mm-hmm. four initiatives that are the four horsemen. Those are the four initiatives of Satan that he has to do in order to push in his government. And of course, he's mm-hmm. in control of the governments now, but he wants total control. And yeah. so this, wow. I just think it's really interesting that last horse yeah. is a green horse.
Yeah, for sure. Just let your listeners know that, you know, people don't know the difference between communism and socialism. It's actually the same thing. Lenin himself said that socialism is communism. And there's their head communist saying that, right? Socialism
yes,
is communism.
Basically the same thing. Very little difference.
That's right. In the 1932-33, when the communists started the Ukraine, I've read books on it. And they said the NKVD, the secret police, were guarding the grain. They were shipping all the grains to the city and leaving the peasants with nothing. And it was a death sentence if you had one grain of wheat for yourself. And they said right in there, that is the property of the socialist people. Socialist people, not communist people, socialists. That's what they told the peasants. They don't dare touch that grain.
They changed the word yeah. communism really to socialism. And so it sounds a little better. But it's the same movement with yeah. very little difference.
That's right. So next we're going to talk about the World Government Summit. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, I am.
The world – are you? Okay. So it's a summit. Every year since 2013, they meet at Abu Dhabi.
Uh-huh.
They just met in – I think it was like February 9th and to 11th or something, or 8th to 10th. And this is where they meet every year since 2019. They're organizing your future for you, and you have no say over it. And there's people from all organizations. There's 4,000 people attend this, making rules for us, right? So they're planning now for the future. And the World Government Summit is a neutral, nonprofit organization in the intersection of government and innovation. So they got public leaders and private sectors. I think when your former President Obama, he actually was there, or he did a video presentation there for this World Government Summit. So he's right in with these guys. Of course, we know they're part of this is all part of the elites that control everything and want to bring about a world government. You know, it should say actually World Governments with an S Summit, because as governments are coming together, there's prime ministers and people from around the world too on the political end. These people say they're going to organize us. They're going to make rules and pass legislation that'll be brought back to our own countries and implemented. So this yes. is what they're talking about. And I just wanted to say it was interesting that the Pope, and I lost the article, but I kind of looked it up a bit here. Actually, your Secretary of Energy, what's his name? Rick Perry, he used to be governor of Texas.
Yes.
He's representing the United States.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's according to this article I'm looking at here, but he's there representing the America. And also, what's interesting, when they opened up with a prayer, well, actually, it wasn't this year. Was it 2017 and 2016 with a prayer and blessing?
Yeah.
And do you know what they have erected in front of the building?
No.
A temple of Baal. You know that arch has been put up around, like, New York, London, and Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
They've been putting arches. So if people are not familiar with what the Arch of Baal is, I mean, that was way back in ancient Israelite times where they practiced Baal. I mean, Jezebel, she was practicing Baal, and her husband, King Ahab, and Elijah chopped their heads off the 450 priests of Baal. So that's where they kind of had a confrontation. This Baal was quite part of the Phoenician people's religion. Anyway, they're putting these arches up all over the world. They kind of laughed at the Christians' faces, right? So here it is, the World Government Summit. They have it there. And you've had it in Washington, D.C. Yeah.
You know, so you mentioned something, and I want to read something from Scripture here.
Of course.
Revelations 18, and I'm going to read the latter part of that, verse 23, and it says, for thy merchants. That's your company owners, okay? That's
mm-hmm,
merchants. That's your company owners. That is the people who are buying and selling, which are the big companies and their owners. It said, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth. So that's very interesting because that's who you're talking about here. These meetings is the, if you say Bilderbergs and the people mm-hmm. that sit on those corporations and run those corporations, their CEOs, that's mm-hmm. who it's talking about here. And that's telling you that's who your great leaders are.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Well, for sure. The Bible's always right. It tells you exactly what's going on. We may not understand it sometimes, but once you start reading and understanding what we're all against, it all comes together that makes the Bible come alive. As I always said, because I love the Bible. And of course, I like the historical part of the Bible. And that's one of my strong points, right? So, but every time we even talk about modern day, the Bible is the truth, and everything falls into line with our Father's plan. So, yeah. A couple names here that are attend there, because we know that President Obama, he actually did attend it, and when he was president. Also, this is very interesting, Arianna Huffington. Does that name sound familiar? Huffington Post, they used to have that newspaper, came out. She was the owner of it. Very left-leaning, and she's one of the speakers here over the years.
Wow.
And the other one is Richard Branson. You know, he's the founder of Virgin Group, you know, Virgin Airlines.
Yes.
And he's a real New Ager. If you follow him, he's like really into the New Age. And look at some of these names. There's the Prime Minister of Spain and Prime Minister of India and President of Rwanda. That's interesting. Secretary General of OECD. United Nations Foundation's chief executive, National Geographic's there. You know, it just goes on and on. You can read all the people of who's who in the world who attends these meetings.
Dan, who do you think they want to fund this? They have an intention of pushing it in, but they want us to pay for it.
That's right. Of course, Americans always pay. If you ever go over, no matter where you go, Americans end up paying for everything, it seems like. You know, whether it's supporting NATO or... you know, anything. It's Americans always seem to be paying for everybody. And so, which is why America's so far in debt, right? So, or almost every country in the world is, but America's really far in debt.
When you get to electronic money, they mm-hmm. can really just make the money up as they go along. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Point. I never thought of that. Wow. Okay. The next one we'd like to talk about is the United Nations Replacement Population Program.
Wow.
So as everybody on the listening audience here knows that they look around, things are changing big time. I know I live in this small town here, and it's just changing by the minute almost. I was reading an article just yesterday. They're flying them here. Since Christmas, I think they've sent jets over to Syria or somewhere in the Middle East and picked up refugees, and there's been 88 flights. And I forget if it's around 35,000 refugees have been brought into Canada from Syria. Like the Canadian government's going there and picking them up and bringing them here. Even our small town, we got refugees from Syria here. Plus, there's a retirement area. So now it's being loaded up with even where I work, it's become very, very multicultural. And okay, so we're looking at United Nations replacement population. And they came out with a document in 2005 talking about the replacement of peoples. Of course, they're all Israelite nations. But they also had in Japan and Korea that the declined population, they need to bring in new people to replace everybody or help bring up the population, which I really thought we were trying to get the rural population down. But we know the third world and the developing nations, their populations are swelling. But yet our populations were various reasons, and we all know why. The populations are declining in Europe and in America and Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and all those nations. Even goes before that, they started talking in 2000 about declining aging populations and a replacement population. So this has been international migration prevent decline of population aging resulting from fertility rates and mortality rates.
It has to do with the fact that Americans and Canadians and Europeans have a zero population growth right now for some of those countries, not all of them. What is the scale? It has to have at least a 2.2 in order to sustain your race and your population. This is what they're using as an excuse to do that.
That's right. We knew about this is going on. And I always said 2.4 to replace your population for, to grow, to just sustain your population. You need, you know, you said 2.2. I always use 2.4. So we're fairly close just to replace ourselves, right? And then without even growing. In particular, Italy, they talk about populations are really bad. For instance, in Italy, the median age will rise from 41 years in 2000 to 53 years, the average age in 2050. So 41 years old in 2000 to 53 years in 2015. So the population is really aging. And the potential support ratio, the number of people working, older persons, is 5 to 2. So 4 to 5 to 2. So they need that many people to sustain to every two people. So, yeah, so that's, you notice birth rate is really falling quickly. And the United Nations saw this way back. And instead of encouraging us to have people and children, they decide to replace us instead. So this is done by the United Nations, not by American government. But I just want to say something about your, you know, you talk about your border wall, right?
Right, right.
You want,
he's got an emergency bill in to build the border wall. But it's going to probably have to work its way through the court system.
Okay, so I don't know if your listeners are aware of this, but in 1952, the nations of the world, I don't know which ones, but Canada was one of them, and I'm sure the United States would have been the other one, they signed a declaration that was an immigration refugee pact they signed with the United Nations. And not many people are aware of this, but as soon as a refugee lands on your shore, American or Canadian or whatever, I don't know if people are aware of that. Stand on that land, they have to be let in. Now, it's interesting because I can relate this to your wall, because in Texas, I just heard this in the news last month, there's some part of the wall around the Rio Grande, or I don't know quite where, the wall has to go back into the United States, you know, say 100 feet, 1,000 feet, whatever. And if refugees are coming in there, the illegals are coming in, they stand on that land that's American, they have to be let in because they're on American soil.
That's according to UN law, yeah.
Honestly, your hands are tied, and no matter what they say on CNN or Fox or any of those TV stations, whatever happened to that caravan of 15,000 or 12,000 that came up?
He didn't let them in.
A couple of months ago? And then there was going to be some more coming in. So they got to stop them from entering right onto American land to make sure they don't become refugees. Because as soon as they land on, they have to let them in. They have to keep them in Mexico or wherever. It's got to be legal. We got to, you know, they got to know who these people are that are coming in. Yeah, it's very interesting. I know back in the 1980s, we know that they were using human cargo ships around the world. And what they would do is bring the cargo ship of immigrants off the shore in international waters. They'd park it, and then they'd bring speedboats and bring them into England that way, sneak them into England, right? So I'm sure that's going on because I remember back in the 80s, and this, I guess, brought us to our attention, that 187 Sikh men were landing in Prince Edward Island or somewhere in the East Coast, and a RCMP policeman fell upon them accidentally, unloading the ship, off the ship, all these men. They were put into jail, and they all promised to come to court to hear why they wanted to migrate to Canada. And you know how many showed up for those court cases?
None.
That's right. They just disappeared and took off into the United States or into Canada and mixed in with the population, right? That's one ship that got caught. How many more are there coming in, right? How are they all coming in? That the population, it all starts with the United Nations way back and all planned out and organized. And we look at the mass migration from Africa into Europe. And they're saying there's millions that it could be coming over in the next couple of years. And
that's,
it's just,
that's,
you know,
that flood. It's very interesting because what they're trying to do is remove all races. You know, the Heavenly Father, he created races. There's certain characteristics that each one of the races and nationalities have. And they complement, they have certain strengths and they have certain weaknesses. And so it's very interesting. That's what they're trying to get rid of. What the Father has created, they think is wrong. All races disappear and just have everybody one race of people.
Yeah.
And you understand that Satan has no race and he has no gender. And
confusion.
So he's trying to reproduce his own progeny, which is actually mentioned in scripture that he's trying to produce his own progeny when it talks about he creates wonders. And that's in the book of Revelations at least two times. And we just don't see it because we are thinking about prophecy the way we were taught it 20 years ago. We need to bring it forward and look at it in terms of what we see right now.
Satan is the master of confusion and chaos. Just think of our lives right now, right? And that's, he wants to confuse and cause chaos among everybody for his power, Satan's power. That's what he wants, right? And yes. He's doing exactly what the plan is for conquer and divide and mix everybody up, confusion. Nobody knows what's going on. And of course, that opens the door for the Antichrist. So people are going to look for that savior, right? This is all being done on purpose. It all will fall into place eventually. And it already is. I mean, stuff that we talked about 40 years ago, has all happened. Everything that was a conspiracy theory has all come true.
Yes.
Right? It's coming out more and more. Computer, you can look things up and check things out, but they're all coming forward. And exactly, it's Satan's plan and God's plan. They're going to come to a head pretty soon, very soon.
Yes.
Okay. You know, coming towards the end of the show, I just want to go through the one last thing here. This is one of my favorite things. And it's George Washington's vision. You're aware of that?
Yes, I am very aware.
Yeah. It's interesting because I looked it up. What was the first thing that came up? Snoops.
Yeah.
You know what Snoops is, right?
Yes.
It's a falsity.
Yes.
It's not true. But of course, that's the very first thing that comes up. So this is recorded in the Congressional Library of the United States in Washington. This is on record, his vision. Long before he's saying, 1800, somebody made up the story. It's not true, because it's in your library, right? In the Congress library. So they're just trying to every one of his visions, all three of them, are now coming true. So the first two, we know of George Washington's vision at Valley Forge, is come true. And I don't know if your listeners are aware of this, but they should be. And of course, we know that George Washington in the Congressional Library too. Claims his ancestors was Odin. So they were in the bloodline of Zerah.
22nd generation from Odin.
You know, they always talk about that Odin's is a mystic. No, he's not. He's a true person who led his people out of Asgard, which is on the Black Sea, who is a bloodline through Troy and Judah through Zerah. And Odin led his people to Scandinavia. They kept track of all their genealogy. There's many ways of finding your genealogy, and I didn't realize this, but between the Mormons and the genealogy society, and all, it's all there. Follow the royal bloodline, right? So he connected to Odin as one of his distant ancestors. But for the vision, it's very interesting. He was at Valley Forge, George Washington, and he was praying in his tent. Now, some say in the thicket. He was praying. And all of a sudden, there was something came into the tent. He could see it. He looks up, and there was an angel in the corner of the tent. And the angel called him Son of the Republic. Look and learn.
Listen and learn, and yeah.
Son of the Republic. And he showed him the battle that he is in about the Revolutionary War. This is before the end of the war, before he became a republic. And it showed them he beat the British.
Right.
That was one of them. And then he said, you know, the angel said, Son of the Republic, look and learn. And the angel just showed him what was going to happen to his country. Then it showed the second vision, part of the same vision. The second thing the angel showed him was the Civil War. It showed you the country being torn apart by internally, and the two sides are fighting in the war. This is like 1776. And then the third one, and apparently a red light, like a red light in the tent, started flashing, and the angel showing him the battlefields and all that was going on. But the third one, and she warned him that this is the most critical one of all, or the vision what she's shown him, this is the most dangerous. And it showed the Atlantic Ocean and waves, the storm, and it showed people, black masses of, or masses of people coming from Africa, from Asia, coming into America. And it showed the American cities burning, right? And conflict and fighting. But so this showing him, this is 1776. That's over 250 years ago that this vision from this angel came and saw President George Washington.
Yes. Now, isn't that interesting, that piece that they were burning the cities and the migrants migration mm-hmm. of the people from different countries coming into America, which is exactly, some of the pieces that bring it down. I mean, there's many elements that's going to bring it down, but immigration policy in this country is overloading our system, and we're mm-hmm. not able to sustain.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not able to sustain as a country because of it.
Yeah. You know, I think in Canada here, our doctors are overloaded right now. How can your hospitals and your school system and, like you said, endure that? How can we take that in all the time? Oh, just a mass of people coming in. You know, in Toronto and in Canada, we have a homeless shelters and that for the homeless. Well, they're all filled with refugees now. The Canadians can't get in there. They've turned to helping the refugees instead of the Canadian people. You probably were taxpayers at one time in their lives, these homeless people. But that's what's happening in Canada, is they're filling up all these shelters and they're being given hotel rooms and trash in some of them. And amazing what's happening here in Canada.
Yes. Well, absolutely. So that, I'm so glad you brought out that about Washington's vision, because that's been written into history. But yes, they're trying to pass that off as something that didn't happen. But mm-hmm. it's been written into history, and there's no way to get that out. Unless you change history, you can't get that out, because he actually mm-hmm. had those visions. In fact,
that's right.
It was at his lowest point at Valley Forge when he thought he had lost this war, is when he had those visions.
That's right. Exactly. That's when God showed him. And that just proves that America is the land of the Israelites, that God is looking after us. He steps in when he has to, or he gives visions to people. And, you know, you've had your other guests on there talk about George Washington during the Revolutionary War and things that happened.
Yes.
You know, including the flag, like how it stood up all night long, right? And the fog that helped George Washington cross, altogether, right? God has got his plan. God uses people to push God's Father's agenda, but that's part of the Bible. And he uses people, especially great people, and created a great nation in America.
Yes. So now, before we go, we don't want to leave the people on a negative note, because there's so much in here. But the Bible has something to say about this, and that is in Psalms 2. So I'm going to read Psalms 2. It's just 3 verses. And it says, when do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? So in other words, he's talking about there's all these conspiracies and, these people are imagining. Are they imagining these conspiracies? That's what he's saying. The kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers take counsel together, which is exactly what you read.
Yes.
They take counsel together. These rulers and these kings and these merchants, they get together at Dubai every year, just like you mentioned, and they counsel together. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, get rid of all of the things that they've taught us all these years and set up, and let's make something brand new. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, because he's got the final word. At the very end, he's going to, even though things go to hell in a handbasket, right? I mean, we know that story. But at the very end, he has the last word. The Father says he laughs, because his plan that's going to go forward. And that should be encouraging for all of us, even though what Dan covered today is so unbelievably fascinating that I didn't know much of this, that it's actually been in place for many years now, that they have been trying to push in this Green Deal and global warming and all the other pieces of that, right? But that's been in the works. At the end result, the whole thing, the Father is going to take control. And we probably will take some licking before that happens. But he's going to have the last word. You know, I wanted to leave it on a positive note so people know that, well, we're just not on the show doom and gloom, right? That there is a silver lining at the end of this. And the Father wants everybody to return back to him. And that's the whole purpose of why we're going to be punished. Yes. So great message, Dan. So we're going to have to close now, and we're going to say blessings to all and good night.
Yeah.